Well, I remember 2003 very well, which is fascinating because I don't even remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. But 2003, that was my first year as a seminarian. And so as seminarians, they always put us into a parish assignment for our summers. And so I got a call from the vocation director and he said, "You are going to Defiance, St. John." I had never been to Defiance. I'm from Norwalk. And so anyway, I showed up just all eager and excited, and I found myself living with Father Dennis Walsh, and I'm still in counseling from that experience and had never been right ever since. And every disparaging remark that I make about him, I really am intending for somebody to let him know that I said that publicly, okay? And so I show up, and here I am, young seminarian, have no idea what to do. And you all, or those of you who are here, welcomed me in great ways, in ways that I didn't even deserve. You didn't know me from Adam. And yet, you welcomed me. And Father Dennis was very, very good to me. Don't tell him I said that. But we had a great summer together. And I learned a lot. You know, and Father Dennis even empowered me when I got here. The vestments were just, I said, "Dennis, these vestments are..." He goes, "Well, I, you know," he had to buy stuff for his dog, so he wasn't going to get vestments. And so he said, "Eric, if you can raise money here, then you can get a new set of vestments." I said, "Oh, I like a challenge." And so I started calling some of you. I don't know if there's anyone here that I harangued into giving me money for the vestments, but I think they're still back there. And I remember calling one woman, and I won't tell you who the parishioner is, and she said, "Oh, Eric, I would love to give money for this project." She said, "New vestments will keep me focused on something other than Father Dennis's bad hair." That's what she said to me, because if you remember, he always had kind of the hair that was, you know, kind of all over the place. And I said, "Well, if that's the case, then up it to 1,000, you know, and so God bless you." And then I had such a great summer here that I came back for Holy Week. And Father Dennis says, "Hey, if you want to, you can be the master of ceremonies for everything." And he said, "I'm sure Dave Monninger would like the help, even if Dave didn't want the help." And so I came back for Holy Week. And again, I remember all this vividly. Dave doesn't remember this. But it was Palm Sunday. It was Palm Sunday. And everything was going swimmingly. Everything was great. We did the Saturday night mass. Life was good. Father Dennis took me out for dinner, and we got back, and we had everything under control, except for the fact that it was daylight savings time weekend. Didn't have that under control. Didn't have cell phones at that point that, switched. And so we went to bed, and we awoke to that morning, and that next morning, Palm Sunday, to Dave Monninger going, "Are you guys up? Where are you? Mass starts in 5 minutes. And so Father Dennis and I run out into the hall, and let me just tell you, we said, well, I can't tell you what we said at that point. And we looked down at the steps at Dave, and he's going, and we're going, and he said, "5 minutes. We don't just put these faces on in 5 minutes." And so Mass started about 15 to 20 minutes late that day. And so I apologize to anyone who was at that early Mass that day. But I'm assuming that you assumed that we were probably just deeply in morning prayer and lost track of time, is what I was assuming. You know, as I think about Lent for me is kind of like Dave Monninger yelling at me to get up out of bed, okay? Lent is that time where it's like we need it right in our face that we got to get our act in gear. We have to kind of get out of our comfort zones, those areas of life that maybe we've kind of just fallen into, you know, we kind of get into autopilot at times. At least I do. Maybe the good folks of Defiance don't. But sometimes we get into autopilot. And so we need somebody. We need Lent. We need that experience to kind of shake us out of that and go, oh, I gotta do something different. I gotta be more attentive. I can't get too comfortable in my own life. And I really love and hate Lent all at the same time. I really do. I find I have a love-hate relationship with Lent. Because I hate it in that it causes me to need to do things that I don't want to do. I don't like fasting. I'm sure you're shocked. And every single Friday during Lent, what sounds good? A burger. Every Friday. Every Friday. And so we all have these issues, these things, and yet they're tough. They're tough to engage in fasting and prayer and almsgiving and to do it well. There is a priest in our diocese who would always say, and he's deceased now, he would always say, I hope you have an excruciating Lent. And that's one of the reasons that I hate Lent, because if it's done well, it can be a bit excruciating. But what I love about Lent is the fact that I know very well that I need it. I need it. I need to be woken up to a better relationship, a more powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are things in my life and our life that we need to get rid of in order to connect on a deeper level with our Lord. And it requires effort. It requires a lot of effort. You know, but anything in this life, I mean, think about this, anything in this life that is worth doing and it has a good outcome typically requires effort, doesn't it? I mean, just think about, you know, if you're in school, you got to study hard to get good grades. You might not like it, but you need to do it. You got to work out in order to be in better shape and good physical health. And working out is never a pleasant thing. Conditioning for sports allows a person to be better at that sport. But again, conditioning isn't usually fun. Praying more intentionally leads to a better relationship with Jesus Christ, but that means a lot of sacrifice. That means we got to give up this, that, or the other thing to be intentional in our prayer. Mass every week leads to a better connection with our Lord and holiness of life. But again, that can require sacrifice. It's a beautiful day out there. You could be out doing whatever. But no, you're here. I think about the men on retreat. You know, you guys gave up your whole day. You could have been out doing whatever. But you're here escaping your wife's honeydew list. You know, God bless you. God bless you. You're like, honey, I got a retreat. Got a retreat. Sorry. That list has to wait, you know. So maybe that's not the best example, but we'll assume some of you are here for the right reason. And look at Peter, James, and John in the gospel today. I love the transfiguration story, you know, but in order to get this heavenly vision of what Jesus is going to look like in his glorified body and what Moses and Elijah look like in heaven, they had to climb a mountain. Think of the extra effort that they all had to go through in order to have that experience of Jesus, in order to understand that there was something beyond this earth, that there was something way beyond the suffering of this age. There was the joy of heaven. But they had to climb the mountain to get there. And it was so glorious that they wanted to stay on that mountain. They said, Lord, we'll just stay here. We're loving this. We're loving this. And of course, the Lord says, no, no, it's not time for that yet. You get down the mountain and you got work to do. You got work to do. But all of this is because they stepped out of their comfort zones. They got out of autopilot. And they did what God said for them to do. God said, this is my beloved son and listen to him. Listen to him. My friends, that is the goal of a parish mission. And so as I come in and do a parish mission, present a parish mission, my only goal is for all of us in the process of this to be able to listen to our Lord more attentively. Because I know from a pastor's perspective, and Father Eric knows this as well, we can say the same thing until we're blue in the face, and then we invite somebody from the outside in who says the same thing, and then everybody goes, that's a great point. And the pastor's sitting there going, seriously? I've been saying that for 3 years, you know? And they didn't get it. But it's reality. So we bring in different people to help us to listen to our Lord better. But it's going to take effort to get there. It's going to take effort every night, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Did I mention it was Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at 6:30 p.m.? And there's going to be all sorts of excuses, right? I did a I did one of these missions at St. Rose in Perrysburg, and I went up to one woman and I said, so are you going to be there, Barb? And she said, Father, I have bunco. I said, well, bunco Barb, that's a bad excuse. Bring all your bunco people. She did. And now to this day, she'll come and visit me and Mommy. And I'll look at her, I go, oh, Bunko Barb, God love ya. That's her now. That's her nickname for the rest of her life. Until she passes, she is Bunko Barb. I know, but Father, one of those nights is my shopping night. I gotta do that. But Father, I don't drive at night. Don't worry, Father Eric will come and pick you up. But Father, I was already at church once this week. Yeah, you're probably the one who could use the second, third, and fourth dose, right? And so, again, we can let excuses creep in. And I know some people have legitimate things that they can't do. But I would very much invite you each of these nights to come and journey with us on a parish mission that's called This Side of Heaven. And to present this mission with me, I spent 9 years at Cardinal Stritch Catholic High School in Oregon, Ohio. And I was the president there. And I was very blessed to be able to mentor a lot of young people. And there were two men there. They're now in college. And they are the ones that present with me. And actually, we have one here. Matt's going to come here, Matt. Matt was just on time for the 5:15 Mass. And so, I can see everything from up there, everything. So here's what I love about this mission. So Matt actually is quite the musician, okay? And Matt wrote a song called This Side of Heaven. And that'll be our theme song for the mission. And so he'll be providing music and different reflection pieces throughout the mission. So we got music. And then one of his former classmates, Jack, who will be here tomorrow, Jack does some testimonials, so you don't just have to hear me the whole time. And so Jack's got quite a powerful story. This is what I love. These are 21-year-old guys living the faith. Not perfectly, trust me. But they're living the faith. And my friends, that is so powerful. And it gives me a lot of hope because we look at our world and go, oh, Lord, you know? Especially when we look at our youth sometimes. And yet, these two are examples of guys who are really trying to live it out and are doing a pretty darn good job. And they're extremely talented. And so Matt goes to UT, University of Toledo. Jack goes to Cleveland State. And so, again, we're going to journey all three nights with you, and it's going to be good. Okay, you can go. You can actually sit in front now. There's a seat right there. Yeah, there you go. Good. He's come to expect that. We've journeyed together for a while. And so every night, 6:30 p.m., Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we're going to focus on this. This side of heaven, and on this side of heaven, we have three goals in order to get to the other side of heaven. to know, to love, and to serve God. To know, to love, and to serve Him. This is all Baltimore Catechism. Simple. To know, to love, and to serve on this side of heaven so we can get to the other side. That's our goal. That's our goal. And so the first night will be about knowing God, second night, loving God and one another, and the third night, about serving. And it is going to be a wonderful time, and I am very much looking forward to it. And if it's not a wonderful time for you, then consider it your Lenten penance. Either way, it's good, okay? Either way, it does your soul good. So let's pray for one another on this, that we will be more attentive to listening to our God, because again, that's what Lent is all about, getting rid of the clutter, getting rid of the stuff in our life, and listening to what our God has to say, and falling more deeply in love with Him.